So he says, when it says at the beginning of the parasha, Vayera Elav Hashem, he says Hashem appeared to him, meaning that Hashem didn't appear to Avraham Avinu because of his greatness. He appeared to him because of what really was inside. And what he was inside was opposite of greatness, meaning, not opposite of greatness, but he was opposite of the expression of greatness. Avraham Avinu on the inside was totally humble, as we'll soon see later on in the parasha. Later on in the parasha, when he's addressing Hashem, he says, "Va'anochi ofer ve'efer, I am like dust and like ashes." Right? Because the sign of a true leader, as we know, we've talked about this before, the sign of a true leader is someone who shows greatness, strength, but at the same time, the strength comes with tremendous humility. And we also learn in the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only mashre the Shechina. Hashem only lets His divine presence rest upon those that are humble. The Gemara Sota has a very, very lengthy discussion. Hashem despises arrogance. Hashem despises those that are haughty, those that are arrogant. And in fact, that's the one thing upon which it says, Hashem says, "Ein ani v'hu yicholim lader." Me and him cannot coexist. Hashem says, I can tolerate anyone, but not the arrogant. Right? Arrogance is the antithesis to the revelation of the Shekhinah. So when it says, Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him, Avraham Avinu, you can have two people doing the same thing, you can have two leaders, but the question is, what's driving the leadership? Sometimes the leadership is not driven by humility, the leadership is driven by some level of arrogance, which normally derails into something negative. But Avraham Avinu's case, his greatness and his leadership was driven by total humility, which was his essence. And that's why it says, the Ikliyaka says, Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him. Not to what his name suggested, what he was doing in terms of his greatness, but to him who he really was, which was the concept of being humble. That's why I use that expression, Vayera Elav Hashem, to him, and not Vayera Hashem El Avro. Okay. Now, okay, so that's why we know that he was coming to visit him after his bris milah, and he was coming to visit the sick. What remains to be understood, however, is why do we assume that Yom Gimel Lemilah, that it was the third day after the circumcision? If it's a mitzvah to visit someone who's unwell, so why the third day? Why didn't he visit him the first day? The second day? Right? Why didn't Hashem right away visit him as he was sick? If it's a mitzvah, we know that. It says, a mitzvah that comes your way, one shouldn't delay a mitzvah, one should do it right away at the first given opportunity. So therefore, if Hashem wanted to visit Avraham Avinu because he went through the Bris Milah, he should have visited him right away. So there's a number of different explanations. First of all, how do we know that it wasn't the first day? There's a few things here. In other words, how do we know? We know it's connected with the Bris because it's right away, comes a continuation of the last week's parasha. But how do we know, in fact, that it wasn't the first day? And if it wasn't, why wasn't the first day? Right? So it's two parts of the question. So the Kliyaka points out, many Mefarshim point out, that there's a lot of opinions about when the Bris actually took place. We know that at the end of the last week's parasha, Avraham Avinu gets this test to circumcise himself at 99 years old, but when was it? Right? So there's actually conflicting views. One view is that it was Pesach because the whole thing over here, he made them cakes, and Chazal said the cakes were really matzah, and so on. But there is another very strong opinion that actually was Yom Kippur. Avraham Avinu actually circumcised himself on Yom Kippur. And that's how we know that it wasn't the first day. Why? Because if it would be the first day, immediately after Hashem's visit, these three angels show up, and what does Avraham Avinu do for them? He gives them a meal. So that wouldn't have happened on Yom Kippur. So therefore we know that it wasn't the first day, and therefore we assume that it was a bit later, and therefore we assume it was the third day, because we'll soon see the third day has special significance after the Bris. Incidentally, about Yom Kippur, there's a very interesting discussion that takes place like this. I think I might have mentioned this before, but I'll just mention it again in this context. According to the views that Avraham Avinu's Bris actually took place on Yom Kippur, there's the following question. We know that the halacha is, we know Avraham Avinu kept the entire Torah, correct? Even before it was given, that's what we learn. There's a halacha that a Bris bizmanu, a Bris that's on time, pushes away Shabbos and Yantif. A Bris that's not on time doesn't push away Shabbos and Yantif, right? A bris on time means a bris on the 8 days, on the 8th day. So on time pushes away Shabbos Yom Tov. Bris not on time doesn't. Avraham Avinu's bris obviously was a delayed bris. He was 99, a little bit after he was 8 days old. So therefore, the question is, if we say it's Yom Kippur, how could that be? That he would be forced to do a bris on Yom Kippur when in fact he kept the whole Torah. So how would his bris halachically have pushed away Yom Kippur? That's a famous halachic question that's asked. But the answer is very simple.
Was it pushed off
because that's when he was commanded? Oh, that's the answer. The reason that a bris, very good. The answer is the definition of a bris on time. Now, a bris on time means, what defines a bris on time to be 8 years old? Not because it's 8 days. The bris on time is because that's when it's supposed to happen. So if when the first opportunity of the bris, the mitzvah of the bris falls out on the eighth day, and the eighth day happens to be Shabbos, it overrides the Shabbos. If the bris is late, meaning late after it was supposed to happen, then it doesn't. Now, Avraham Avinu's times, Avraham Avinu's bris, his bris at 99 was bizman, it was on time. That was when the mitzvah was given. The mitzvah was given right away, and he circumcised himself right away on that day. So therefore, his bris milah had a halachic status of being a bris on time, and therefore would have overridden Yom Kippur as well. That's the idea. Okay. Now, why the third day? Sorry?
Could this be Yom Kippur? The food and the doing.
No, that's why we say it was the third day. That's what I'm saying. That's what the Yochai says. That's the proof. It wasn't Yom Kippur. It was the third day of the bris. It wasn't the bris itself, because the bris itself was on Yom Kippur, and therefore it wasn't on the same day as the bris. It was day. It was sometime later.
What's there to indicate it was on Yom Kippur?
Oh, so that's a medrash that says it was Yom Kippur. The one view is that the bris took place. Oh, why Yom Kippur? It's also hinted in the pasuk, because at the end of last week's parasha, it says, I'll tell you why, because it says, if you look at the pasuk before, the second to last pasuk on page 76, it says, Be'etzem hayoyim hazeh, in the essence of the day, on this very day, Nimol Avram Avinu was circumcised, v'Yishmael b'noi and Yishmael his son. And that expression, Be'etzem hayoyim hazeh, is an expression also used by Yom Kippur. The Torah refers to Yom Kippur also as Be'etzem hayoyim hazeh. Right, so that's one of the connections to Yom Kippur. It's one of the...
That it was time to break the fast, reason he was so happy to give the people food.
No, because it says it was during the day.
They were locked in.
No, that's a good question. In fact, it says because he was sitting there kachoyim hayom in the heat of the day. And in fact, I just saw this morning that normally we say the heat of the day. Rashi says that Hashem made it specially hot, so the visitors shouldn't bother him. But the first we say actually that it wasn't necessarily just hot. It was also the time of the heat of the day. It was like the middle of the day when the sun is hottest, and that day was particularly hot. But it was in the middle of the day for sure. Sorry, what were you saying?
They were malachim, so they could eat.
Yeah, but supposedly Avraham Avinu didn't know that. That's a whole question, by the way. Avraham Avinu knew or didn't know. That's another question.
Anyway, he prepared food.
Yeah, prepared food. Exactly. Shechti, prepared food, all that. Now, why the third day? So the Aruch Chaim points out something very interesting. Aruch Chaim says that actually we learned from an interesting halach. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, in the laws of Bikur Chaylim, the laws of visiting someone who's unwell, it's a mitzvah to visit someone who's unwell, and there's also all sorts of halachas that surround this particular mitzvah. And Shulchan Aruch says that when someone becomes unwell, one shouldn't actually visit them until the third day. Why? No, but there's a question on this. We'll soon see in a second. By the way, what is the mitzvah of visiting sick? It's a very interesting thing. What is the mitzvah of Birkei Chanash? It's to visit. Obviously, it's to help the person. And in halacha, we find there's two things that are part of this mitzvah. One is when you visit someone who's unwell, that you visit them in order to be aroused to daven for them. That's one part of the mitzvah. And that's why it's actually written that a person who visits someone who's sick should afterwards daven for them, otherwise it's actually not really fulfillment of the mitzvah. And then obviously to help them to see what they can do or to alleviate their suffering and their pain. Yet it says that one shouldn't visit the sick until the third day, except for family. Close family is allowed to do that. Which then creates a question, says the Aruch Chaim, Hashem is family. So if there's a halacha that someone shouldn't visit the sick until the third day, that doesn't really explain why Hashem waited till the third day to visit Avraham Avinu, because Hashem is considered family, Hashem's children, so to speak. So the answer is very simple. It says like this: why shouldn't a person visit the sick until the third day? What's the reason for this halacha? The reason is, the difference between a person and family is because when a person becomes unwell, the idea is at the beginning not to draw such attention to it. Generally, things have more bracha when they're kept private. Right? So a person becomes unwell, it's not a good thing right away to publicize it. One should rather keep it quiet. Maybe that way it'll sort of go away. When people start visiting and making a whole tumult, that's actually not a good thing to draw attention to it. Until it becomes the third day and the person's children become well, then we start a different process of people visiting. Right? She says, that's why family can visit, because family obviously are close by. Family will keep it private. But Hashem can't, even though he's family. Because Hashem's visit can't be private. She says. Hashem visits someone, it's a big thing. The Shekhinah comes and reveals himself to someone, it's in the Chumash. Right? I mean, it's a big deal. Hashem is visiting someone, it's a big concept. So therefore, because it draws a lot of attention to it, it's a thing which is very, very public, Hashem's visit. Therefore, Hashem, even though his family would have to be bound by the halacha of not visiting the sick until the third day. Yeah, that's what. Another pshat is that we learn that the reason that Hashem visited the third day is to teach us something, and that's something we learn later on from Chumash. Later on from Chumash, you know, there's a story of Shechem, where the whole city of Shechem, when Dina, Yaakov's daughter, was kidnapped, and the whole city, the ruler of Shechem came to Yaakov's children, the whole story, right? And then we have that Shimon and Levi put together a whole scheme, a whole plot. And the plot was that they would get the town to circumcise themselves, and because they'd be weak, they'd go in and kill the entire town, right? A separate issue of why they didn't, it was wrong, it was right, Yaakov was angry, that's another discussion. But we do learn there like this, that they put together this whole plan, that they advised the town that if they were all circumcised, all have a bris, then they'll be able to intermarry with the Yaakov's family. And then it says, Vayihi b'yoy mashlishi, was the third day, b'yoysom k'yav, and they were very, very in pain, they were very weak. That's when Shimon Levi walked in and killed the entire town. So we learn from there that the third day of bris milah is actually the worst day. Apparently, in recovering from the bris, the third day actually becomes weaker than the other days. And that's why that's a particular day to visit. And that's also another reason why Hashem came to visit on the third day.
Is there anything to do with the fact that you're not meant to do Nikum Avadim until the third day? Is that any connection?
No, that's a different thing. Although that's questionable with what the binyan is there. There is such a thing about you're not menachem over someone until the third day. Although the minhag is to be lenient with that, but the reason for that is because a person needs to be like they're not ready for nechem avedim. Just like it says that you don't comfort someone at all before the funeral because it's a state of shock. And then the first few days is a state of intense mourning, so therefore you don't. But I'm not sure if it's the same thing. I don't think so. One further pshat which I'll just share with you, which is interesting, is why Hashem didn't visit him. Why actually do we visit someone who's sick? So it says in the Gemara that a person, and why Hashem came to visit Avraham Avinu altogether, that a person who visits someone who's sick, it says, takes away some of his sickness. Right? In fact, the Gemara says, when you visit someone who's sick, you take away a 60th of their sickness. It doesn't mean, by the way, that if 60 people go, it becomes well necessarily. It doesn't mean that would be a nice thing. That would be a simple zgula, just send 60 people to visit the person who's sick. It means takes away a 60th of what's left. Anyways. But it says, obviously, that's for the regular person, but with Hashem, who would come to visit someone who's sick. The reason Hashem came to visit Avraham Avinu is to heal him. Now, it's interesting because on the same day that Hashem came to visit him, he sent three angels. One of those angels was Raphael, the angel Raphael, who came to heal Abraham. What does that mean? Angels can't heal, angels don't heal. Well, it means the angel heals, the angel is a messenger of Hashem. So what actually happened was, that Hashem came to visit Abraham Avinu, he came to generate that power of healing, which would then go through the Malach Raphael, and that was the reason that the Malach was there. However, the difference between Hashem visiting and a regular person visiting is, that Hashem visiting Avraham Avinu, and which he also did in the schus of him passing the test of circumcising himself at age 99, Hashem's visit was going to bring a complete recovery. What would have happened if Hashem had come on the first day? He would have recovered on the first day, completely. Now that would be a good thing, one would imagine, but it wouldn't have been a good thing because this test of Bris Milah, the test of circumcision, was Avraham Avinu to do the mitzvah of Bris. And one of the fundamental concepts of a mitzvah is that a mitzvah needs to be done in a natural way. And part of the natural course of a bris milah is the weakness that's associated and the recovery. Right? Even today, when a baby has a bris milah, we make a special mishaberach. We make the same mishaberach for the child that we make for a person who's unwell. Right? Because there is a recovery that's necessary. In Mitzvah Shem, every baby recovers, but there's a concept of recovery as part of the bris milah. One of the reasons we don't make a shechayonu by a bris, right? It's a new mitzvah. It's a great mitzvah. It's a mitzvah connected with simcha. In fact, the Gemara says it's a fascinating thing connected with simcha. The Gemara says that every mitzvah that the Jews accepted with joy has this permanence of joy to it, and people do it with simcha even though it's connected with pain and connected with some sense of being uncomfortable. So one of the reasons we don't make Shechayonu is because of Tzara Diyanuka, even though it's a great mitzvah and it's such an unbelievable simcha, but there is a sense of pain and discomfort and weakness that's connected with a child, and therefore we don't make Shechayonu. Right? Interesting thing. It's like this sensitivity. It's like a great simcha, but we take into account the weakness of the child. Same reason that it says on Shulchan Aruch, by the way, that you make Shechayonu. We don't do it today so much, because today people buy clothing very often, but used to be the meaning that a person bought a nice piece of clothing, they make Shechayonu, but not on shoes, because even though we wear shoes, and shoes are very important, but it's still at the end of the day connected with the pain of the animal, and therefore we don't make Shechayonu. Right? So that's part of the Bris Milah, part of the whole idea of keeping a mitzvah. The point of a mitzvah is to bring Hashem into the natural world, is to make Hashem part of the natural routine of the world, and therefore, if Hashem would come and visit Avraham Avinu on the first day, he would miraculously make him well on the first day. It would be a supernatural recovery, which would actually detract from the very performance of the mitzvah. And that's one of the reasons he didn't come on the first day, and he waited until the third day. When he came, then the Malach Rafal came, and through the Malach Rafal, the whole Rafua came, but that was the third day, so it would be connected with the natural routine of how things are supposed to take place. It's interesting, it's connected with a famous story of the Alter Rebbe, the first Chabad Rebbe, when he was in jail. Through libels and all kind of stuff, he was landed in jail for like 53 days, and part of the time he was in jail, he needed to do Kiddush Levana, to say the bracha on the new moon. The problem is there was no seeing the moon from the prison cell. Okay, so one night he had the opportunity. Why? Because he was taken out of his prison cell to be questioned, and what happened was the prison at the time was surrounded by a moat, by like a big moat, and this guy took him and put him into like a little ship. And was driving the ship towards the courthouse to be able to be questioned. And that time, Alter Rebbe realized that he could do Kiddush Levana. He could say the bracha. So he asked the driver of the ship if he'll stop, because the halacha of the Kiddush Levana is you need to be stationary. So the guy laughed at him and says, "Well, you're a prisoner. Don't be silly." So Alter Rebbe was a very, very big tzaddik with many, many stories, with supernatural powers, and he made the ship stop miraculously. So the ship stopped. And the ship stopped, Alter Rebbe said the first paragraph, the introductory paragraph to the bracha of Kiddush Levana, before the actual bracha, and then the ship started to go again. Then Alter Rebbe says to him, "Will you stop now?" So now he realizes who he's dealing with. So he told him, "I'll stop on one condition, that you give me a bracha that I should live long." Okay, so Alter Rebbe agreed, and there was a story that this guy was around for a long time. And then the guy stopped, and he said the bracha of Kiddush Levana. So on this story, there was a famous question that was asked. If he had the power to make the ship stop, why didn't you say the whole Kiddush Levana at the beginning? And the answer is, he didn't want to do that. At the end of the day, he needed to do the mitzvah in a natural way. You don't do the mitzvah miraculously. Right? So therefore, it's the same thing I mentioned last week, the whole discussion that Chaim Brisk, the famous Rav Chaim Brisk, has about how the miracle of Hanukkah took place. There's a problem with how is, when we say that the oil burned for 8 days, and only supposed to burn for one, how did it actually work? Because some commentaries maintain that what happened was that the oil burnt up the first night, mm-hmm. and the next day miraculously was refilled with olive oil. Chaim Brisk rejects that. He said it can't be, because then what you're doing is you're not lighting the candle, you're not lighting the menorah with miracle oil, with olive oil, lighting with miracle oil. It might look and feel have the same properties of olive oil, but it's an oil which is created miraculously. You can't do a mitzvah like that. So therefore, he has a different explanation. He says no, the oil remained the oil. The miracle was that it became extra strength. Okay, so it lasted longer. It was the same oil, so each night only an eighth was burnt up, right? But same sort of idea. The mitzvahs have to be done in the natural world, and that's what halacha is. You can't do a mitzvah with something that's created through the concept of a miracle. Anyway, so that explains also this idea of why Avraham Avinu, why Hashem didn't visit Avraham Avinu until the third day. Because that would have detracted from the natural course of how Bris Milah takes place, and that's another reason why he waited. Okay. Have a look at the pasuk we're still on. It says, Where did he? So that's all in the first few words. Vayera Eilav Hashem. Then it says, Be'aloinei Mamre. He appeared to him in the fields, in the plains of Mamre. Now, why do we need to know the exact address? Right? Where did Hashem appear to him? He was in Eretz Yisrael. That's where he was. Okay. So, Rashi says, a famous Rashi, that Mamre was a person, right? Aloine Mamre is the plains of Mamre, but it belonged to Mamre. In other words, the Mamre was a person. Avraham Avinu had three very famous friends. They come up in Gemara sometimes, they talk about. Called Oner, Eshkol, and Mamre. And Mamre was one of Avraham Avinu's friends. And Rashi says what happened was that when Hashem gave Avraham Avinu the mitzvah of Bris Milah, gave him the mitzvah to circumcise himself, Avraham Avinu consulted with Mamre, with Oner, Eshkol, Mamre. And Mamre was the person to tell him you should go ahead. He encouraged him to go ahead with the Bris Milah. And that's why, because Mamre was the person to encourage him, he had the schus that Hashem should mention him in the Torah and should mention him in conjunction with how Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu. So it's a famous Rashi. I've always learned this Rashi, and it's always bothered me. In fact, I never realized until now. I was always looking for the answer. What does that mean? Why would Avraham Avinu consult with anyone? Right? Don't forget, Avraham Avinu was now 99. He'd gone through a whole bunch of tests. He passed all the flying colors. Right? He had jumped into the furnace in the time, his first test. That was even before Hashem appeared to him in the Lech Lecha, Ur Kasdim, right? We spoke about this last week. He didn't consult anyone then, right? Hashem told him to go to Israel, he went. Hashem told him to go, there was a family, he had to go down to Egypt, he went. All of the tests, he goes, right? The Akedah, he didn't consult. I mean, they would have thought he was mad anyways. No one would have told him to go, right? So what, all of a sudden, this one, he consults, what does that mean? So I finally found today, I found the Daskenim Bale HaToisus, which is one of the famous Pirushim on Chumash from the time of the Bale HaToisus. He brings three answers. He says, how can he, and he asks this question. He says, Batema, he says, it's very, very difficult. Can a person who's a Chashuv V'tzadik, a person who's so important and such a tzadik like Avraham Avinu, right? And he was tested 10 times, and he always passed them, and he never asked anyone advice. When it comes to business, you ask advice. He says the following. First answer is, he says, that chas v'shalom, he should ask a question whether he should circumcise himself or not. Can't even entertain that thought. The question was a different question. The question is, should he publicize it or he shouldn't publicize it? That was the question. Should he keep it under wraps? In other words, what's better? Avraham Avinu had a mission. His mission was to bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch, his people was to spread monotheism. His mission was to bring Achdus Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, to the masses. Right? So I guess that's what the Daskenei Bale HaToisus means. He went to consult with Oner Eshkol Mamre. What's the best strategy? I've got this test. Obviously, I'm going to do it. Right? Should I make a big deal out of it? Should people know? Or should I keep it private? And just between me and God, Hashem wants me to do it, so I'll do it and finish. No one has to know about it. So Mamre's Eitzah was, says the Daskenei, that no, you should publicize it. Hashem gave you something to do. You shouldn't be worried. You should do it in public. Maybe people will learn from you. I guess at the time it was understood that this was something for everyone to do. Maybe this is where people will learn from you. They'll also do the mitzvah. And therefore that was the Eitzah of Mamre. Not whether you should do it or not, but that he should make it public. And that's what Hashem accepted. Hashem liked that. And he publicized Mamre because of that.
Was Mamre Jewish?
Was anyone Jewish at that time? What does that mean?
Mitzvahs.
Yeah. So it seems in this Daskenei that there were people that took on mitzvahs and Mamre was one of them. And it's possible what he says that Mamre himself actually circumcised himself after that. Possibly, yeah. Because the famous question about, you know, last week's parasha we learned about that Avraham Avinu went to Eretz Yisrael with the nefesh asher osu b'chor. They went with the people that they were carried, right? That they brought close to Hashem. What happened to all those people? Right? Anyway. Another answer he gives is that the Eitzah wasn't that. The Eitzah was that Avraham Avinu actually didn't quite understand exactly what Hashem meant. It was a bit of a cryptic command to circumcise. He didn't actually understand what that actually means and what part of the body that refers to and so on and so forth. So Mamre helped him out. And the third answer is that he went to honor Eshkol Mamre to actually ask him what to do because he had a problem. His problem was that Hashem actually commanded him to circumcise himself, not only him. It was him, Yishmael, and all the people of his household. Right? There were lots of people. There were a couple hundred people that had a bris that day. So Avraham Avinu was sure they're not going to cooperate. I mean, it's very nice that Hashem told you to serve, so what is it going to do with us, right? So he didn't know what to do. And according to Daskenim, he asked Oner, Eshkol, and Mamre, and they didn't know what to tell him except for Mamre. Mamre told him what you got to do, an interesting strategy. He told him you got to start yourself, don't start with them. Start yourself. You do the bris yourself. And Yishmael, who's obviously under Avraham Avinu's jurisdiction. He couldn't resist that. And what they will see what you're doing. You'll set the example and they see your enthusiasm in carrying out Hashem's command. They will do it also. And that was Mamre's Eitzah. And if you have a look, it's actually hinted in the Pasuk on the page before. Have a look at the page before, again, 76. Again, the last two psukim, the Askenim says, this is what it means. He says, Be'etzem hayoim hazeh, in the actual day, on that very day, Nimol Avram Yishmol Benoi. Avram Avinu had the bris, and Yishmol his son, right? Second to last line. Then it says, V'chol anche beisa yili baisa miknas kesa ma'esh anecha nimelo itoy. Then it says that everyone else in his house had the circumcision with him. It says, Daskan, that's exactly what happened. First, Avram Avinu did it himself. And it could be that Avram Avinu had intended not to do it that way. Because Avram Avinu had to do it himself. He had to do the bris. So therefore, if he would carry out the bris on himself first, that would be make it very difficult then to do it. He would be weak. Right? So I suppose logic would have told him to do the other way around. First start with everyone else and then finish with himself. But Mamre told him, no, do yourself and Yishmol first. And that's why the Pasuk gets first. And then everyone else. And that was Mamre's Eitzah to get everyone else on board. And that's why Hashem gave him the Sechus. But a fascinating shot that it wasn't Chas V'Shalom to actually think that he asked Mamre and Eitzah whether he should do it or not. Because that could never happen if Hashem tested him, so for sure he was going to do it. Let's just learn a few more psukim, and then I'm going to go to something else in the parasha. So, pasuk base, right? Oh, sorry, the pasuk continues. We didn't finish the pasuk. Well, Yosef pesach oel chayma yomini was sitting at the tent in the heat of the day. Obviously, he was looking for visitors. Vayisoeinu vayar, and he lifts up his eyes and he sees v'hinei shloisha anoshim. There were three people. Nitzovim olav standing right there. Vayar, and he saw vayoros the cross, and he went out to meet them. He pesach oel vayishtachu arza, and he bowed down to them, and he asked them to come. And he says, Vayoymar, and he says, Pasuk Gimel, the third Pasuk. Now, the next word is interesting. It looks like Hashem, right? But not everyone says it means Hashem. Adonai means my master. So either he was talking, there's two shot of it. Either he was talking to the Malach, he was talking to the eldest one of the Malachim, and he was saying, my master, im no matzasichem enecha, if I find favor in eyes, al no savrim alavdecha, please don't go away. Please, you're coming here, please come into my house. Another pshat is that he's talking to God. Avir means Hashem. And he says to Hashem, because don't forget, Hashem was appeared to him, and he's in the middle of talking to God. He says to Hashem, please hold on. Don't go away. I'm just going to take care of the visitors. And if you don't mind hanging on, I'll come back to you soon. Right? For which the Gemara learns, the famous Gemara, we've talked about this before, that we learn from there that Gedoyla Achnosas Archim, that receiving guests is so great that it's even greater than receiving the divine presence. That's how great the mitzvah of Achnasas Archim is. That receiving guests is so great that it's why we learn this from Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu was prepared to interrupt his audience with Hashem, so to speak, in order to receive guests, in order to go and take care of the guests. And that's from there we learn that Achnasas Archim, receiving guests, is such a great mitzvah that it's greater than even having an audience with Hashem. That's what we learn from this passage. Okay. Now I want to just turn our attention to something else a little bit later in the parasha. I'm going to just share with you something else. Let me just find it, 1 second. It's page 82. Towards the bottom, Pasuk Chof Zayin, verse 27. I'll just give you the context here. This is a very fascinating piece. It shows you the great love that Avraham Avinu have for everyone. And the Malachim leave. What happens is the story is like this. Malachim leave Abraham. And two of them come. The third one disappears because he had already fulfilled his mission. His mission was to inform Abraham and Sarah that they would in fact have a child a year later. And two of them go off to Sdoim. One of them to destroy the city of Sdoim and the neighboring cities. And one of them to rescue Lot. Right? Then the Pasuk says an interesting thing. Hashem says, I'm going to destroy Sdoim, but can I hide this from Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu is such a close and faithful servant of mine. It's only right that I confide in him and I let him know what I'm about to do. So he tells Avraham Avinu, which is interesting because Hashem didn't have to tell Avraham Avinu that he was going to do it. But he did, having the connection Avraham Avinu had with Hashem. Hashem told Avraham Avinu what he's going to do, and Hashem let himself in for a whole fight. Because he told Avraham Avinu what he was going to do, and Avraham Avinu started to argue with God. Famous, famous argument. And he argues strongly with Hashem, right? To try and save the people of Sdoim. Now, Avraham Avinu's argument is that maybe there's some good people there. And if there's some good people, maybe you should save them on the account of the good people. And he goes very strongly and he starts to say, maybe there's 50 good people there. And Hashem says, if there's 50 good people there, I'm not going to destroy them. What's the cheshbon of 50? Because it's 10 per city. Because Hashem destroyed 5 cities. Anyway, it didn't work, so she tried 40 people, and he continues to speak strongly. It's a very fascinating piece that Avraham is actually prepared to take on a fight with Hashem and argue with Hashem on the basis of trying to save the people of Sodom. So he starts off with the, you know, maybe you can save Sodom, there's 50 people, and Hashem says, no, I'm not going to do it if there's 50 people, but there isn't 50 people. So then we have the following pasuk. Have a look at pasuk Chof Zayin. Verse 27 at the bottom, third line from the bottom. He says, "Vayan Avram vayomer," and Avram answered and he said, "Right, you have it there. Hinei no hoy alti ledaber el Hashem. I have begun to speak to Hashem. In other words, once I've begun and you haven't sort of shut me down, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to continue." And he says, "V'anoichi ofar ve'efer. I am dust and ash." In other words, I'm humble, I'm really nothing, but I'm going to continue speaking nevertheless. He says, maybe the tzaddikim will be missing 5. He says, how about 45? The cheshbon of 45 was because there'll be 9 per city, and with Hashem it's 10, and so on and so forth. So Chazal in the Gemara tell us the following. That in the merit of Avraham Avinu saying these words, V'anoichi ofar ve'efer, that I am dust and ashes, his children merited the 2 mitzvahs that have to do with Ofar and Efer, or have to do with dust or that, whatever. What are the 2 mitzvahs? Efer Parah, the Ofar Soita. Efer Parah is the ashes of the Parah Adumah, that the mitzvah of Parah Adumah, the mitzvah of the red heifer, that if someone came into contact with a dead body and they would be impure, there'd be a mitzvah of shechting a completely red cow and burning its ashes with spring water and using that solution to sprinkle it upon the person the 3rd and the 7th day, and that would be a way to make the person pure. That's the one mitzvah. So the Efer Parah, the ashes of the Parah they got in the merit of Avraham Avinu saying that his ashes is like nothing. And the dust, the Ofar, they got to the mitzvah of Ofar Soita. Ofar Soita is the mitzvah of the suspected woman. The woman was suspected of being unfaithful. Her husband has asked her not to behave in a modest way, and she refuses. The whole thing in Parashat Nasai, and then he suspects her of actually committing adultery, but he has no evidence. So he takes her to the Beis Din, takes her to the Sanhedrin. This took place mostly in the first Beis Hamikdash and part of the second Beis Hamikdash. And if she won't admit to acting inappropriately, she's then forced to drink a solution. The solution is water and It's 3 things. It's water. It's a little bit of the dust from the floor of the Beis Hamikdash, and the parsha of the soita, the actual parsha, was written on parchment with Hashem's name and rubbed into the water, right? And she drinks that, and if she had transgressed, she would die on the spot. That was the mitzvah. And if not, and it proved that she was correct and that she was actually hadn't done what she had done, notwithstanding that she hadn't been that. I mean, she had done things that had led people to suspect her, so she wasn't a complete righteous person, in other words, she had done wrong, but yet she hadn't done what she had been suspected of, she hadn't fully committed adultery, and that was proven by the water would actually bring blessing to her, that she'd return to her husband would be okay, that she's, and they would have children, and if she wasn't able to have children before, she would have children, and if she had a very difficult labor, she would have easy labor, the whole thing, the water would actually bring a broch.
That's considered a mitzvah.
It's one of the 630 mitzvahs to administer that process, right? It's interesting. It's interesting to ask that question. Mitzvah means one of the 630 mitzvahs. Not all mitzvahs are mitzvahs that we run to do. Right? There are many mitzvahs in the Torah that are given if certain situations arrive. The mitzvah is this is how you have to respond to it. So that's the definition of here of a mitzvah. It's not like a mitzvah of Hanasas Orchim, which you have to run to do. Right? It's a different kind of mitzvah.
Would you ever get over the humiliation?
Would she ever get over the humiliation? Yeah, no, you're correct. That's a good question. And I think that's probably part of the reason why she got that bracha coming of the water. The humiliation was part of the punishment. At the end of the day, she did what she wasn't supposed to do. Right? In other words, it's a very complicated parasha, but the parasha soita comes after a series of events and a series of warnings where she did things that were arousing suspicion. And she was asked not to do that, and she just continued to do that. So that was probably why the humiliation came. But But nevertheless, because she wasn't guilty, and because in the end she was innocent, that's why she got the bracha. So it's a very interesting mitzvah. I mean, that's another bit to go into, but I'm saying in the context of this discussion, that's what I mean. So the question is as follows. It's very nice that there seems to be an interesting connection here. Avraham Avinu said, I am offer of Afer, I am dust and ashes, right? And that's why they got the two mitzvahs of, to do with ashes and dust, right? But it's got to be deeper than that. In other words, what's the connection between these two mitzvahs? Somehow these two mitzvahs have to be connected to Avraham Avinu. It's not just the fact that he happened to use an expression of being like dust, and that's why we've got these two mitzvahs, right? Because on the surface, these mitzvahs actually seem very disconnected with Avraham Avinu. In fact, if we take the mitzvah of Parah Adumah kabbalistically, we actually find that the Parah Adumah is the exact opposite of Avraham Avinu. Why? What is the thing that Avraham Avinu stood for, as we know? Avraham Avinu symbolized and stood for, represented the entire concept of chesed, right? Achnasas Archim, we find it in this parsha, Avraham Avinu was dying to have guests, and so on and so forth. Okay? The complete, absolute epitome of chesed, so much so that it's brought in Kabbalah, there's a famous line, a famous expression, a Kabbalistic line, that during the lifetime of Avraham Avinu, the midas ha-chesed, the attribute of chesed, which Hashem created that sort of resides in the upper worlds, said to Hashem, I'm out of a job. As long as Avraham Avinu is around, I don't need to function. Avraham Avinu personifies the attribute of chesed. It's the attribute of chesed lives now in Avraham Avinu. There's no reason for the attribute of chesed to exist anywhere else besides Avraham Avinu, so to speak, right? The concept of Parah Adumah is the other way around. Parah Adumah, we know that a cow, the different animals represent different midas. A cow represents kavura, not chesed. You know, in the famous celestial vision that Yecheskel saw, he saw an eagle on the right and an ox on the left, and that was the concept of chesed and kavura. Number one. Number two, in colors, we know that red represents fire. Fire is gevurah, different to water. It is true that in the Parah Adumah there was a mixture of chesed and gevurah, because part of the Parah Adumah was the combination, the mixture of the ashes of the cow, which was burnt, together with the spring water. The spring water was the ultimate symbol of chesed, because water represents chesed. Spring water is strong chesed. But the cow is gevurah, red cow is complete gevurah, and the Parah Adumah is completely the red cow because it's fully red. Can't have even a little bit of black in it. It's completely red. And yet, although Parah Adumah contained the chesed in the water, but that's not what it says about Avraham Avinu. The whole idea here is that Avraham Avinu got the mitzvah of Afer Parah, the ashes of the Parah Adumah. The ashes of the Parah Adumah, that component of the Parah Adumah has nothing to do with chesed. That component of the Parah Adumah is gevurah all the way. Okay? So what's the connection to Avraham Avinu? So, one of the explanations is as follows. Chesed, we have to examine and understand the whole concept of Avraham Avinu's chesed. Chesed can come from two sources. Why does a person do chesed? It's a very interesting analysis of this whole concept of doing kindness for others. Right? Chesed can come out of a sense of greatness. In other words, we find sometimes in the world where people are, they have this like sense of broadness. They might be very, very wealthy, they have a lot, or they contain a lot, they're very satisfied, they're very happy people, they're very, very strong people, they have a tremendous set of resources, they take care of themselves very well, and part of that whole equation is chesed. So they give away because they have that personality of chesed. In other words, the personality of chesed is just an incredible flexibility, it's an incredible sense of just giving things away, right? That's one source of how chesed can happen. Chesed can also come from an opposite mindset. It can come from an incredibly strong sense of humility. That because a person realizes and understands that the person doesn't have a sense of independent significance, and the person understands that his or her independent significance is minute, and in fact it's all part of one greater reality, and therefore the person doesn't give that much importance or significance to their own independent identity, therefore they're able to make room for so much else and so many other people, and that becomes a source of chesed. Okay. What's the difference between these two sources of chesed? So the question is, how far will the chesed extend? How far will the chesed extend? Will the person do chesed even if it puts them out, if it harms them? Understand? And that's where these two types of chesed become different. When a person does chesed because they just happen to be a chesed personality and they're very, very flexible and they're very abundant, they're very broad, they will give a lot away, but not necessarily will the chesed come at their own expense. In other words, they have a sense of tremendous greatness, which means they will take care of themselves very well, plus they'll share with others. But not necessarily will the chesed come if it puts them out or it's to their expense.
It's not unconditional.
It's not unconditional chesed necessarily. Right? When do we have unconditional chesed? When we have true chesed, right? True chesed comes when it comes from a sense of humility, when it comes from true humility. When a person is truly humble, then the chesed is pure. And the chesed can even be there if it makes it difficult for themselves. Right? Now, Avraham Avinu's chesed came from the fact that Avraham Avinu was humble. Avraham Avinu was the ultimate chesed. And his chesed came because he had this credible sense of humility of calling himself Ofer ve'Efer, right? Dust and Efer, which now we say are connected to the two mitzvahs of Parah Aduma and the concept of the mitzvah of Soita. Why those two mitzvahs? Because it's in those two mitzvahs where we find this concept of giving even at your own expense. Why? So we find two interesting things. With Parah Aduma we find the following. What is Parah Aduma? Parah Aduma is to make someone pure who's become impure. Not just impure, but impure at the greatest level. In other words, the greatest impurity you can have is the impurity of coming into contact with a dead body, which is a symbol of spirit, the greatest spiritual impurity. So the idea of the Kohen shechting the Parah Aduma and sprinkling the ashes of the Parah Aduma in order to make the person who's become impure pure is symbolic of the concept of going out of your way to help someone, even someone who's being spiritually contaminated, right? To help someone who's really down in the dumps. That's the process of Parah Aduma. Now, what's the halacha of Parah Aduma? We find a fascinating halacha. In Parshas Chukos, we find that the Parah Aduma is metamei satohirim and metayris atzmei. The Parah Aduma made the person who was impure pure, but the people who were engaged and involved in preparing the Parah Aduma, they contracted an impurity. They became impure. And therefore didn't need a Parah Aduma after that, but they needed to go to mikveh at least. It was a lesser level of impurity. But they had to, at the end of the story, while they made the guy pure, they themselves had to go to mikveh and only become pure that night because they became impure. What does it resemble? Now I'm about to say, you need to take it very carefully because it can sound dangerous sometimes, right? That sometimes it means we have to help others even if we lose out, even if we lose out spiritually. And when I say to be very careful with that, obviously it doesn't mean that we can never lose out, we can never help someone else even spiritually, and even to bring them close to Yiddishkeit by breaking one of the halachas or by doing anything that's against halacha, because that's compromising Yiddishkeit and we can't do that. But I'm talking more about the concept of helping someone out even though we lose out on some level. For example, a person can, let's say, engage in a very deep spiritual experience. He can engage in deep Torah study in a greatest level, and yet he stops to help someone else who's less, to bring him closer to Yiddishkeit, or to teach a person who he goes out of his way to teach. In the meantime, he loses time that he or she could engage in much, much greater personal spiritual gain. Right? That's what Parah Aduma symbolizes. It's the concept of chesed coming out of humility, coming out of the concept of I'm prepared to suffer and do chesed to someone else, even though it means me losing, because that's true chesed coming out of humility. And the same thing we find with the mitzvah of soita. Mitzvah of soita is a fascinating thing. It's an amazing lesson that the Gemara talks about the mitzvah of soita. The woman had to drink a solution which had the dust of the soita, but also had the parsha of soita rubbed out into it. Part of what happened in the story of the soita was the woman drank the solution which had Hashem's name on the parchment that had been erased into the water. Now we know that erasing Hashem's name is a terrible avera. Right? We're not allowed to do that. Once you write Hashem's name, you're not allowed to erase it. It's quite a severe thing. So why did Hashem make a mitzvah where you erase his name? Because in fact, what gave the water the power to determine whether the woman was guilty or innocent, and therefore if she was innocent, to bring her back to her husband and to give her the brachas and to restore the marriage to what it was, is the fact that Hashem's name was erased in the mitzvah. And Hashem says that Yimochesh Mi, I'm prepared for my name to be erased in the water as long as I can restore shalom bayis and peace between husband and wife and resolve this whole part, this whole concept. Again, the same idea. To put yourself out rather than, even though you lose kind of thing, and in this case Hashem, so to speak, is prepared to help the couple, even though it means him giving up his concept of having his own name erased in the water. Which is something we find by Avraham Avinu also. Avraham Avinu, with the whole idea of Zdoim, he put himself out as Zdoim. It was a risk that he took to argue with Hashem like that. And also we learned at the beginning of the parasha that he was prepared to leave his audience with Hashem to go and receive guests. Receiving guests is a major mitzvah. But I don't know how many people would do it if they had an audience by Hashem himself. Would they give that up in order to entertain guests, right? Avraham Avinu did, because he was prepared to lose spiritually even in order to entertain guests. And that's why, that's the connection to Avraham Avinu. That his chesed became symbolized in these two mitzvahs of Paraduma and the Soita, because that symbolized this idea of true chesed coming out of humility. Okay, stop there.